Today, we'll look at one of the oldest gospel-centered traditions in the country, the camp meeting. AFA Vice President Emeritus Buddy Smith will join us to celebrate the 154th annual meeting of the South Union Camp Meeting and how God is still bringing spiritual renewal today.
God created us to live and to live spiritually, to be in right relationship with Him, and, you know, a vibrant relationship with a loving God. And, of course, that's what Jesus came to restore. And so camp meeting is that time to live.
It's the weekend of July 11th and 12th. I'm Jeff Shambly, and this is The Stand Radio. Welcome to the program for today. You know, all during the month of July, we have been talking about, and we will be talking about, the history of America, our founding, and all of the gospel influences that have gone way back into our history. You know, when the fires of the first Great Awakening in the early 1700s were fading out and liberal theology was gaining ground in New England, something quite different was happening on America's frontier. As people moved down into Kentucky and into the Deep South, it was the camp meeting that carried the gospel into settlements where people didn't have a pastor or a church building. Thousands of settlers literally would travel 30 to 40 miles by wagon or horseback to meet together, pitch their tents for weeks at a time to worship and hear the Word of God. It's recorded by Francis Asbury that by 1811, and by the way, Francis Asbury was a Methodist bishop, he wrote that over 400 camp meetings were held every year along the frontier from Georgia to Michigan. That's in 1811. Now, by 1890, most of those had faded away with the frontier life that brought them about, but there are some that remain until this day, and one of them is the South Union Camp Meeting that is held in Ackerman, Mississippi. 154 years meeting since 1872 every single year. And they're having their 155th meeting on July the 23rd through the 29th. And a man with very close ties to this camp meeting is AFA Vice President Emeritus and AFA Board Member Buddy Smith. Buddy, welcome to the program.
Well, hello, Jeff.
Good to have you with us.
Well, it is a joy to spend a little time with you about camp meeting.
Yeah, when I heard that this was going on, I said, you know, I've got to get Buddy on the program to talk about this. 154 years, meeting every year since 1872. We're going to talk about that. But first, give our audience a little bit of a sense of who you are, what your ministry is now, because you are, after 32 years at American Family Association, you're officially retired. So what are you doing now?
That's right. Well, one of my new roles is I am a presiding elder in the Global Methodist Church. Many will probably know that there has been problems with the United Methodist Church in terms of their departure from Orthodox Christianity and traditional Wesleyan theology, and primarily in the area of human sexuality, sadly. And so as a result of that, God has birthed a new denomination, the Global Methodist Church, and it's just a joy to have a little part in that. I'm presiding elder over the Amory District of the Mississippi West Tennessee Global Methodist Conference, and so I have about 15 churches and pastors in one campus ministry that I work closely with, and I'm just very encouraged about what God is doing in this new movement. It's refreshing, Jeff. It really is. These are churches that have been under, and I'll just say it like it is, they've been under the bondage of the United Methodist system for many, many years. And so there's just a new freedom there, proclaiming the gospel and making disciples and the Wesleyan tradition that's birthing a lot of new converts and disciples, and so good things are happening.
Well, that's exciting, and we'll talk more about that in just a little bit as we talk about the influence of the United Methodist Church over South Union. But first, give us a little history about the South Union Camp Meeting. 1872, every year, So, tell us a little bit about the history.
Yeah. Well, it's been exciting to go back and read a little bit of how the founders came about starting this tradition that's lasted so long. And the way that it reads and is that just some men gathered and had prayer, Jeff. Mm. They were hungry for and thirsting for a move of God in their hearts and in their church and their families. And I'm sure in 1872, the camp meeting movement had been around for a while, so I'm sure they had heard mm-hmm. testimonies and stories about how God had worked powerfully in this movement. And so I'm sure that ignited a spark in their own hearts to see God move in that way in their lives and their families and their church and community. Mm-hmm. So they came together in prayer. And while we don't have any record of just what they prayed, the report is that it was a very fervent prayer meeting that they okay. were pleading with God to really help them bring about something that would be life-changing and transformational in terms of scriptural holiness and yeah. life and just the work of God in their lives. And so it all started with their prayers. And so, I'm very thankful to say that among those founders, those first tenters, we called it, to camp meeting, was my great great grandparents. And I did not know that for many, many years. And then reading back in the history, there it was. And
wow.
it was like I knew my great grandfather and my grandfather because my grandfather, my grandparents introduced me to South Union.
Okay.
And my great grandfather's buried in the cemetery there. So I knew of that, but did not know until, I dug in a little deeper that great-great-grandpa was wow. right there. So
what a blessing.
Yeah, yeah.
And to think, well, we'll get to this, but this is so cool because their prayers, their
yes.
fervent prayers for
That's
a move
right.
of God.
Yes.
We're 154 years later.
Yeah.
And it continues. God yes. continues to answer those prayers.
Yes.
Isn't that amazing?
It is amazing.
Tell us a little bit about how a camp meeting works. Okay,
yeah.
so in the old days,
yeah.
back in the early, the late 1800s into the 1900s, what was a typical camp meeting like?
I can only imagine what it must have
Not that you were there.
Like. No. But I've heard some stories, and of course, we have a history of that. And these were days; these were tough days in terms of life in America. I mean,
yeah.
these farming people, lived by the sweat of their brow and the dirt of the land. And so, as I understood it, it came a time when. Their crops were laid by, as it's reported. They mm-hmm. had their crops all gathered in, and so they had some time that they could be away from their farming opportunities and yeah. existence of life. And so they would come together for a camp meeting for a protracted period of time. And for South Union, it's just been a 5-day event all these years. And but back in the early days, Jeff, they arrived, mules and wagons, and my grandparents actually did. No electricity, no running water. There's an ever-flowing spring there on the grounds where you can walk about 150 yards and,
okay.
Bring water back to the tents, but no electricity. So there were lamps and lanterns, and actually there was a tabernacle that kind of rests in the center of the campground, an arbor,
mm-hmm.
and then these wooden tents are kind of in a circular shape around the tabernacle. And of course, there's some biblical Leviticus 23 going back. I mean, there's some symbolism here. We won't go into all that. But anyway, you know, for lighting around the campground. They would build these scaffolds and they would take pine knots and burn them, you know, to glow, to give a glow around the campground so people could actually see, you know. Actually, under the arbor, which this is the third arbor that's been constructed at South Union. It was built in 1914, so it's 112 years old. Mm-hmm. And you can actually see places where, under the current arbor, where the lanterns were hung and the smoke and
the char
from the flame. You know, there's still numerous areas under the arbor that you can see that. So it's pretty exciting. But these were days that, you know, they would sometimes bring their chickens. I mean, you were there for 5 days.
Yeah, you can't just leave your farm for a week.
No.
You bring the chickens with you.
Yeah, and the cows. And, you know, I mean, it's we all came to camp meeting. And so they would dig a hole. My grandfather told me about this. They would dig holes in the back part of their tents, and there would be an ice wagon that would come in from Ackerman about 3 miles and sell big blocks of ice, and they would put the ice down in the holes to cool, you know, some of the food to keep it preserved over the camp meeting. So anyway, it's just hard to realize how life was back then, but this was a time of great fellowship and community, and just hungry hearts for the presence of God, and a time of sincere repentance and humbling themselves and just seeking the Lord.
You had a lot of connections to that growing up. You also met your wife in that setting.
That's right.
How old were you?
Oh, wow. Well, I cannot remember because we were so young. I'm actually 2 years older than Carol, but we both, you know, have photos when we were there as mere babies, kind of, you know, laid out there on the pews and the benches and the tents. And so, however, you know, there was a point that As it happens with boys and girls, I began to pay attention to some of the pretty girls out there. And so, I first met Carol, even though we lived only a block, a street over there in the little town of Ackerman. It was at South Union that we began to have interest in each other and dated for 6 years before we married, and now coming up on 54 years of marriage. So
that is special. Very,
very,
very special.
Very special.
Tell me how the South Union camp meeting affected you spiritually.
Yeah.
How did the Lord reach you in that sense?
Yeah. Well, thank you for asking that, Jeff. I can just remember the early days, my grandparents taking me with them to South Union. And these were days they were still maintaining something of a farm. So I know I remember they would wake me up about 3 a.m. because they had to have the cows milked and the milk out beside the road for the truck to pick up at 5 a.m. So they would have to leave about 3. And so thankfully they left me sleeping on the seat. But, you know, I can remember that. And I can remember my grandparents just loving God and loving to worship and fellowship and under the altar and pray. And so, Jeff, it was when I was about 12 years old, for the one of the services, for some reason, the song leader did not make it. So it was obvious it was time for service and the song leader was not present. So my grandmother speaks out and says, well, I believe that Buddy Boy could lead our singing today. Can't you? And of course, I said,
yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am, before I even thought about it, because my goodness, my grandmother, I'm not going to tell her no, my sweet grandmother. And then I thought, okay. So that was my first experience of leading a song. And really, as I look back, Jeff, in some ways, I really think it was my first yes to God. I've come to think that. And now looking back, God just started working in my life in a great way through the camp meeting. I remember I've heard a lot of sermons under that old arbor. But as a young person, there was one in particular, and it was actually, even though this was a Methodist camp meeting, camp meeting is a time when the community really comes together. The denominations don't matter, and everybody comes together, the Baptists, the Methodists, the Presbyterians, the Pentecostals, and so it's kind of unique in that sense. There's great unity and there. And so anyway, this particular day, the Baptist preacher in town was preaching, and he preached from that Hebrews passage, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? So there's really a warning in that question. And so I just remember God got my attention that day. I must have been 14 years old, maybe. And that question, in some ways, God really used that to begin to woo me with the idea that God is a personal God, and he wants a personal relationship with you. You know, it's one thing to know that there's a God who created, and of course at camp meeting you're outdoors and, you know, you're experiencing God's creation and all of its splendor, and that's a good thing, and that's part of his revelation to us, but deeper as we hear the gospel, you know, we're, as he's referred to, the hound of heaven, the Holy Spirit is drawing us to Christ. And so that particular sermon planted a seed, didn't come to fruition until I was actually a freshman in college when I was born again and saved and came into a personal relationship with the Lord. But I believe that seed was firmly planted in my heart with that sermon, and I thought about it a lot. And so anyway, God used that in a big way.
So the lesson there is, if God is speaking to your heart, don't harden your heart. And listener, that's what you need to remember. If you feel that the Lord is speaking to you when you're hearing the word of God preached, don't turn a deaf ear to
that. Today is the day of salvation. That's exactly right.
During this time, United Methodist Church had jurisdiction over the South Union Camp Meeting.
Correct.
We know that the denomination began to discount the authority of Scripture.
Right.
How did that affect the preaching, the teaching, the faithfulness to the Word of God at the camp meeting during those years?
Yeah. You know, I think the camp meeting, as far as the United Methodists were concerned, was a relic.
Okay.
They kind of looked at it as being irrelevant because it was something of the past. So they didn't really see it as a threat, and it was just kind of a once-a-year thing. So thankfully, from my experience, they didn't really meddle with it.
Okay.
So there was still a freedom there. If the pastor in charge of the church, you know, it was usually his prerogative to select who would be the preachers, who would be the leaders in the camp meeting. So thankfully at South Union, we had pastors, for the most part, who wanted gospel preaching. They wanted someone to come in and, you know, really pull all the stops out and kind of preach with some fervor and fire of a great awakening kind of preacher. And we had some of those, and it was unique in that sense.
There was not only fiery preaching, there was singing with gusto, full-throated singing, as
Absolutely.
They say. What was that like?
Oh, my. It was really thrilling. We sang out of the Cokesbury hymnal, and I'm looking at a copy here. And we still sing from the Cokesbury today with the older hymns that were written in this era. And they're just packed with so much meaning and just filled with words that lyrics and tunes that, draw on the heartstrings. One of the dominant hymns of camp meeting was always and continues to be today, revive us again. Mm-hmm. And of course, going back to the psalmist's plea, will you not revive us again, O Lord, that your people may rejoice in you? Yeah. But just looking at this old hymn, you know, the chorus, hallelujah, thine the glory, hallelujah, amen, hallelujah, thine the glory, revive us again. So a dominant theme of the camp meeting at South Union and other camp meetings has always been to the refreshing of the Spirit of God, the presence of God, and what that refreshing does to your soul.
Yeah.
Because you're rejuvenated, you're restored. I fiddle some with old cars, and I'm not necessarily a restorer. I usually get a hold of them, Jeff, when they've been restored. But I've seen, you know, for example, a car, you know, it can get in a pretty old, dilapidated, rusted out condition, and you know, the right person comes along and takes the time and expense to kind of bring it back, sometimes even to greater glory than what it was to begin with. But it kind of lives again, and it's restored back to its original intent. And so I think, you know, the revival movement of the camp meetings is just that. I mean, God created us to live, and to live spiritually, to be in right relationship with Him, and, you know, a vibrant relationship with a loving God. Mm-hmm. And, of course, that's what Jesus came to restore. And so camp meeting is that time to live again. We, anyone who's lived the Christian life for just a short while knows that because of our sinful nature, you know, we have this drift in us.
Yes.
And all too soon, even though we may have, you know, a glorious experience of being born again and our salvation first coming to know the Lord, but then we tend to get off for whatever reason in our living the Christian life, trying to live the Christian life in our own strength and ingenuity and education and all those things that bring pride to the table. And we just get off track, and we just need to come again to the altar and repent and humble ourselves and experience only what Christ can do in us and through us. And that's what the church is all about. And if we're not careful and intentional about keeping that relationship alive and well, then, you know, it's not good. And so camp meeting is just that time to come aside and kind of turn the world off as much as you possibly can and get in a position where you can really hear what God is saying.
Yeah.
And once we do that, I mean, it's exciting things happen.
He speaks.
He is still speaking today. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, our guest is AFA Vice President Emeritus Buddy Smith, and we're talking about the South Union Camp Meeting, which is in its 154th year, meeting every year since 1872. We encourage you to check out their website, because they have another meeting coming up later on this month. The website is southunioncampmeeting.org. southunioncampmeeting.org. You'll find out all of the history, some beautiful, beautiful pictures. Read about the history and find out how you can attend this year's event.
Yeah.
Buddy, this is not only just about history. There's a new generation that's coming on.
Yeah.
What does the next generation of campers look like at South Union?
Jeff, I am excited about that. South Union, you know, the camp meeting movement is still very much alive and well across America, and there are just some who are much more active than South Union. However, there's still life at South Union, and I'm pleased to say that our own family is a piece of that, because now, this year, under our little cabin out there and under the arbor, tracing back to my great-great-grandparents, because Carol and I just learned about a week ago that we're about to be great-great-grandparents. grandparents.
Really?
So anyway, we're about to have our great-great-grandchild. So we'll be able to count eight generations there with history at that campground and camp meeting. And, you know, Jeff, you and I were talking earlier today about prayer, and you'd asked me about the beginnings of South Union.
Yeah.
And my great-great-grandparents were there, and Jeff, they were praying. And I just have to think that somehow, I mean, that's the beauty and the power of prayer, isn't it? Somehow, I think our presence there, our kids' presence there, our grandchildren, and now to have a great-grandchild on the way, you know, is just a sign of the power of prayer.
Yes.
And God is still working. And so, you know, it's exciting. There'll be children out there this year on their bicycles, just like I was in the early years, having a great time and spending time under that arbor, hearing the gospel proclaimed in great power. And there'll be exciting, thrilling, spirit-filled music and fellowship. And there'll be the invitation time at the close of those services where, you know, there's an urgent call, like you say, to when you hear God's voice, don't put it off. You know, today's the day of salvation. When you hear his voice, now's the time to say yes to God. And there's just no telling through these 153, now coming up on 54 years, how many, I've often wondered, Lord, you know, it'd be exciting to know how many yeses have been given to you under that old tabernacle. That the current one is 112 years old. And Jeff, it has to be thousands and thousands. And I'm coming up on 75 years old. I can say with confidence that I've never said yes to God and regretted it at any time. And so anytime the Lord has asked me to do something, when I've said a yes, the results of that have been profoundly beautiful, and I will forever be grateful.
So much to be thankful for. God is so good and
yes,
so kind
is,
to answer his prayers.
Amen.
Buddy Smith, thank you for being with us today and for leading us through the history of the South Union camp meeting, but more than that, reminding us of the loving Father that we have.
That's right.
Who answers prayers when we cry out to him.
He does.
Thank you for being with us today.
Thank you, Jeff.
And next week, Stephen McDowell, who is the co-founder and president of the Providence Foundation, will explain American exceptionalism. We'll focus on the blessings and responsibilities of living in America. Today's program is available as a podcast at AFR.net. To get your free trial subscription to our Stand magazine and our weekly email update, visit thestand.net. Have a great weekend and join us again next time on The Stand Radio.